This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood to celebrate as Le Petit Theatre begins a new chapter, swing out to Jazz Harp, get a sneak peek at a new charter school focused on the arts, or savor the flavor of a red, ripe Creole tomato. It's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack.
Give me a head with hair, long, beautiful hair, shining, gleaming, streaming, flaxing, waxing.
Hair, the American tribal love rock musical of the 1960s, is just one of the offerings as Le Petit Theatre, the oldest surviving community theater in the country, is back in business following major financial difficulties with a new season and a new look. Joining me now is Le Petit's executive director, Cassie Worley. Welcome to Inside the Arts.
Thank you, Diane. I'm happy to be here.
And congratulations on saving a New Orleans institution. How did this momentous occasion come to be?
Well, it's been about 2 years now since our last production at Le Petit, and during that time, we sold a large part of the building to the Dickey Brennan Group, and once that sale went through, we were able to refund ticket holders, to pay off our debt, to pay off our banknote, and to start extensive renovations on the theater. And in that time, we now have the restaurant is open. So the restoration of one side of that building is up and running and lit and looking beautiful. And the other side, we're readying it now for a production in a couple of weeks.
So the renovation consisted of a restaurant?
A restaurant in 60% of the building. And then the theater proper is still Le Petit, only better and brighter with some improvements.
And at what cost?
We've been putting in about $1.5 million worth of renovation in the theater.
The season doesn't start until September, but you have a Lagniappe offering for next month's opening.
That's correct. Le Petit is going to be premiering Nora Ephron's Love, Loss, and What I Wore. It's five actresses, and they are telling stories about clothes that they wore at certain times in their lives and what that meant to them. It's funny. It's a great piece to showcase local actresses. And our director, Carl Walker, is in the process right now of casting the show. And he is thinking about actually purposely double casting it so that we can then use 10 actresses and maybe one weekend have this group of five and another weekend another group of five. This show is simple in its staging. The women really just sit and talk to the audience. So it's not a production that is as elaborate as the shows we will be opening up with in September. We feel that it's a great summer offering.
And speaking of the season, what's in store for audiences?
So in September, we're going to be opening up with Lombardi. And this is the story of the late, great Vince Lombardi. It's not about football. It's about Vince and his wife, Marie. It's a very nice love story and a great character piece. It's a recent Broadway show.
And you move from Lombardi to Hair.
To Hair. I like to say, Diane, before there was Rent, there was Hair. So if you are interested in a rock musical or a musical or just a good time, you can't miss Hair. We are very, very excited about presenting Hair. We're excited about auditioning for Hair. Auditions are going to be over the summer.
Wow. You have a piece about Golda Meir.
This piece, Golda's Balcony, is very thought-provoking. Once again, another character piece. This is a one-woman show.
And you've got two well-known productions on the bill.
We want to present at least one Pulitzer Prize-winning play a season. And Death of a Salesman is our Pulitzer Prize. It's also the show that we have already received some grant money to open this up to high school students. We're beginning a very extensive educational program at Le Petit. Part of our educational outreach is going to be actually teaching classes in the theater to students from schools in the surrounding area.
And you round out the season with the amazing
Joseph
Technicolor.
And the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. This is one of my all-time favorite shows. Joseph was Andrew Lloyd Webber's first show. So before Cats and before Phantom of the Opera, there was Joseph. Andrew Lloyd Webber and Stephen Schwartz, who did the music and lyrics, they wrote this when they were 17 and 21. It was supposed to be a children's show, but it's so wonderful. Adult audiences love it. And our board member, Brian Batt, did it on Broadway.
What a great lineup.
It is. It is. We're very proud of it.
Tell us a little bit more about your background.
I've been teaching for 25 years. In fact, I first was on the stage of Le Petit Theatre when I was 15 in Mac and Mabel with the late, great Stocker Fontenot directed that production. And I have been teaching in area schools. I've taught at Trinity Episcopal School, Sacred Heart. I've been at Country Day for the last 14 years. And for 16 summers, I directed a program called Tulane Little Lyric Theater, which was musical theater program for elementary age children. And I'm segueing out of teaching into running Le Petit, but I'm going to continue teaching. I will be doing that with this community outreach that we will be doing with school children coming into our theater. 2-3 times a week during the school day, part of their curriculum for performing arts classes.
Cassie, what does this success story say about our local arts community?
The fact that Le Petit could land on its feet with the support of the community and with this wonderful excitement from the artistic community, I think it says a lot about New Orleans and the special kind of people that New Orleans attracts, but also New Orleans have this sort of fierce loyalty for their institutions. We love the French Quarter. We love Le Petit Theater, and thank goodness it's going to be up, alive, kicking, running right into the future.
And the show goes on.
And the show does go on, yes.
Cassie, thanks so much for stopping by.
Thank you, Diane.
Good morning, starshine. The earth says hello.
We've been talking with Le Petit Theater's executive director, Cassie Worley. Le Petit Theater opens July 19th with a summer Lagniap production of Nora Ephron's Love, Loss, and What I Wore. More info on this and the theater's seasonal lineup can be found at lepetittheater.com. There are art programs in schools, and there are schools devoted solely to art. Eileen Fleming reports a new charter school in Jefferson Parish is getting ready for a unique approach to education that uses art in traditional subjects.
Parents and children are signing up for a new elementary charter school in Gretna. It's designed to teach the basics, like math and science, with help from the arts. Lots of art, dance, theater, and music will be part of the teaching tools. Willie Reams heard about the school and thought it might work for his 7-year-old daughter, Faith. So he and his wife attended a meeting for more information.
They're going to be, they said, learning without really knowing they're learning. And I know from experience, kids learn a lot more when they're like totally engaged, you know. And I thought that might be a good fit for her because, you know, the current school she's at, while academically she did well in most areas, in some she struggled. But we felt like this school would be a better fit for her.
That school is the Kate Middleton Elementary School. No, not that Kate Middleton. The charter is named after a longtime teacher in Jefferson Parish Public Schools. It's being operated by the nonprofit Young Audiences, which for the past 50 years has operated after-school arts programs in Louisiana with some classroom integration. Roscoe Reddix is a Young Audiences storyteller. He's been using dance, music, and other art forms as teaching tools for the past 20 years. He'll be one of the full-time artists at the new charter school, working alongside teachers and developing curriculum. He explains how his skills can be used in various subjects.
One thing that you often see in science is cycles, and often through music, a soundscape can be created that can represent the cycle, or through dance, you could show the seasons, you could show birth, life, death kind of sequence, the life of an animal, or some creature. I've seen the movement of the planets through dance, just things to help children hold on to and retain.
That retention is thought to be key in developing critical thinking, that outside-the-box approach that creative businesses like Apple need in their staff. Pam Stewart is director of charter school development for young audiences. She says the germ of a standalone school was planted about 2 years ago.
We had 100% of our teachers that we surveyed said that the children in our programs were more actively engaged in their normal classroom when they had been in a young audience's residency or after-school program. So we started looking at the data and realized, if we're doing this in an hour and a half, what is it going to look like? What could happen if we do it for 8 hours a day?
The person in charge of that experiment is first-time principal Falwell Dunbar. He's been working in education for more than 20 years, from the Peace Corps to charter school operations around the country. Dunbar says he hopes the students will advance toward not only an art education, but excel in the real world.
Our mission is actually that all of our graduates get into the high school of their choice, be it a public school, a private school, a school here, or a school on the other side of the country.
The Kate Middleton School is planning to open in August with kindergarten through third grade students. The next grade year will be added each year until it's a full K through 8 in 2018 with 800 students. There are still some openings. Applications are available at yacharterschool.org. For WWNO Inside the Arts, I'm Eileen Fleming.
You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. The second annual New Orleans Jazz and Pop Harp Weekend, sponsored by the local chapter of the American Harp Society, kicks off a series of workshops and concerts June 6th through 9th. And joining me now to talk about the events is Latin jazz harpist, composer, and teacher Patrice Fisher. Patrice, welcome to Inside the Arts.
Thank you, Diane.
Tell me, what is on tap this year?
This is our second year, and we'll have a solo concert on Thursday, June 6th by our visiting artist, Deborah Henson Conant, who's well known as both a singer and a jazz harpist. And on Friday, we'll fill up the Crown Plaza Airport Hotel with local harpists, myself, Rachel Van Voorhees, and Kimberly Hauser of Baton Rouge, and will be accompanied by a rhythm section including Steve Mesikowski, Pat Casey, and Charles Brewer, and my husband, Carlos Valladares.
You know, the harp is a beautiful instrument, and the sound is just heavenly. And when I think about a harp, I don't think of jazz right off the bat. So how do you make a harp swing?
I write most of the music, and I grew up in New Orleans, so how can you not love jazz? There wasn't really a way in school to learn how to play jazz on the harp, so I took to the streets. I just figured out a way to do it, and now we're trying to change that situation by having this educational seminar all weekend to teach harpists how to play jazz on the harp. We had a harp conference here in 1998, and they had like a jazz workshop. Even the teacher didn't have a clue about how to play jazz. And I realized, wow, they know everything else there is to know about music, but not how to improvise or how to syncopate or how to play blue notes. And so we're focusing our classes, four classes a day for 3 days, to teach them the skills that you need, which can be learned just like any other musical skill. We have harpists coming from 11 states this year.
What is it about the harp that is so attractive for audiences and players alike?
The harp has this ethereal, mysterious sound, and it's known to stabilize your blood pressure and your heart rate and just calm you down.
And you were first attracted to the instrument when?
When I was in high school, I was studying flute at Loyola Conservatory, and they had a harp in the next room, and I used to go and play on the harp while I was waiting for my mother to pick me up, and they caught me one day and said, only the harp students could play the harp. So I said, Mom, can I be a harp student?
And the rest is history.
And the rest is history.
Let's talk about a couple of compositions from your latest CD.
We're going to play one of my compositions. It's called Happy Socks. It's in a New Orleans second line rhythm with a samba in the middle.
How did you come to write this one?
We have a friend in Germany, and we go to Germany every year to tour. And the first time we went in July, people were wearing sandals, but it's a little bit too cold to wear sandals with bare feet, so they would wear socks with their sandals. And one night we were sitting with Sister Jana, and she had these red and yellow striped socks with gold thread going through them, and I looked down and I said, those are some happy socks.
And that was the birth of a song.
Yes.
Tell us more about Friday's concert and what we can expect.
We're going to start out with Kimberly Hauser. She's kind of a wild spirit, and actually one of her classes is Hunting the Wild Dissonance on the music of Sun Ra, if you know Sun Ra. She'll be playing free jazz, followed by my former teacher, Rachel Van Voorhees, and she'll be playing pop music, which is also something harpists don't know that much about playing. I will follow with my own compositions and some Latin jazz, and we'll end with the harp flash mob. And we have, as our guest rhythm section, Steve Masikowski, Pat Casey, and Charles Brewer, bass, guitar, and drums.
What will audiences remember most from this concert?
They will see the wide variety of things that the harp can do that you don't expect.
Now, this is going to be on Friday, June 7th.
Mm-hmm. Friday, June 7th at the Crown Plaza Airport Hotel on Williams and Veterans. This is in Kenner.
Patrice, thanks so much for stopping by.
Well, thanks for having me.
We've been talking with Latin jazz harpist, composer, and teacher Patrice Fisher. For more information, visit NewOrleansJazzHarp.com. And click on Activities Open to Visitors.
You say tomato, I say Creole tomato.
It's June, and in New Orleans, that means it's Creole Tomato time. The 27th annual French Market Creole Tomato Festival kicks off this weekend. And with me now is Festival Coordinator Amy Kirk. Tell me, how does this year's crop of Creole tomatoes look?
Well, I talked to George Lafarge, and he is our main tomato guy this year. He is a farmer that has been with us since the very beginning of the festival, 27 years. And he says that the crop is not as robust in terms of amount of tomatoes because we've had such a cool winter and spring, which, of course, us humans love, but the tomatoes don't love it as much. However, he's been able to find the great tomatoes. This week is the week that the tomatoes are the most ripe. So he is out there as we speak picking away and very confident that we're going to have great tomatoes this year. They may not be as big as last year, but they are going to be the Creole tomatoes you know and love. And he will have two full bays at our farmer's market.
So what makes a tomato Creole?
The word alluvial comes to mind. It's our alluvial soil. I know it's a word you use often. It is the wonderful climate we have down here, the hot, humid climate of southeast Louisiana. So the river parishes are really the ideal place for growing the Creole tomato. And that's really what makes it a Creole tomato. It's all about where they're grown.
And how do we know that we are, in fact, buying a Creole tomato and not maybe just a regular tomato that someone slapped the Creole name on?
Right. You should be cautious. But if you've ever seen a Creole tomato, certainly ever tasted one, you know how distinct they are. They are bumpy, lumpy, and large. Big old crowns. Size is most important. And then, of course, taste. You certainly know the robust taste of a Creole tomato.
And it is the month of June only that they are pretty much available?
Exactly.
And in celebrating our red gems, what's new on tap at the festival this year?
This year we really have a nice mix of cooking demonstrations that are by both well-known chefs in the area and also by some of our farmers market vendors that we really love to highlight and celebrate. So you can come down and get your tomatoes, but you will be pleasantly surprised to notice all the new farmers market vendors, all of the new artists we have down there, the new shops. And you can really spend the day exploring and, you know, going in and out of the air conditioning. Kids' activity area has greatly expanded. We have the entire area in Dutch Alley dedicated to kids' activities with miniature golf and craft booths outside, some workshops and dancing inside, two music stages for kids, and our main music stage by the French Market Arch has a really wonderful mix of Cajun Zydeco music and R&B and soul music.
Now, this is all taking place in the French Market area, but just a few steps away, there is another festival, the Cajun Zydeco Festival. How do these two festivals coexist?
Yeah, the Cajun Zydeco Festival, they have really become a great neighbor to us because we love having events at the Mint because it draws people down past our farmers market, through our flea market, and into a space that we really do consider our neighbor, the old U.S. Mint. So the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Foundation hosts this event the same weekend. They have three music stages, all Cajun Zydeco. They program one of our stages on Saturday, June 8th. We'll have Cajun Zydeco musicians. So we really try to keep it fluid and let people know that, you know, really that makes it about 7.5 to 8 blocks of festival. If you start at Jackson Square at our shops at the Upper Pontalba and make your way down past Café du Monde all the way down to the Farmers and Flea Market, just keep going a few steps and you're going to get more great music and really spend the day in the area and have plenty to do till the sun sets.
Sounds like an exciting weekend.
It's a great mix of food and music and great for the whole family.
Amy, thanks so much for stopping by.
Thank you.
We've been talking with Creole Tomato Festival Coordinator Amy Kirk. For more info and a schedule of events, visit FrenchMarket.org. For information on the Cajun Zydeco Festival, visit jazzandheritage.org/Cajun-Zydeco. We have something extra in our Lagniap Corner. Don Boomgarten, Dean of the College of Music and Fine Arts at Loyola University, will present a free concert of Chopin's Mazurkas. The event is open to the public in Loyola's Communications Music Complex, corner of St. Charles Avenue and Calhoun Street. Friday, June 7th at 2 p.m. That's our show for this week. Inside the Arts is a production of WWNO. Our program is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette next Tuesday at 1 p.m. when we'll go inside the arts. I'm Diane Mack.